Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Movie Rubric. I'm Timothy McDaniel.
Cole Wright.
Joan Jobai.
And we just, literally, just got back from the theater, and we went and saw It Ends With Us, and we were so close to being the only three in the theater.
So close.
Two older ladies
had to ruin it for us.
Sit in the far back corner.
Yeah, I whispered that to Cole at one point. Yeah, so we definitely whispered a lot during this movie, which was good. If I had to sit completely silent for this movie, I would not have enjoyed it as much as I did. But I looked at Cole and I said, you have the entire theater to choose seats from. Why do you choose the back right corner?
Yeah, it was a little odd choice. Yeah.
To each their own.
Yeah.
Some people are like, you know, like the back row Baptist of the movie theaters. I get it. But like, I don't know. I'd at least pick the back middle.
Yeah,
I
think. Middle at least. Something's happening to my voice. I need to drink another thing of water.
Okay.
Old man on here.
How's that?
Dying.
What did you get from Starbucks?
The throat destroyer or something like that.
Yeah.
The caramel voice cruncher.
Absolutely. Well, I did record our thoughts going into this movie. So I'm going to go ahead and play those here real quick and make sure this isn't going to blow us out of the water here.
Probably
so will. Let's go ahead and listen to those real fast.
Okay, we're outside, we're in the lobby of the theater. It's 4 o'clock on a Monday for It Ends With Us. When I purchased the tickets, we were the only ones in the theater, and I'm hoping we're the only ones in the theater. Magic. I'm not expecting to like this movie, if I'm being honest, but I hope to be pleasantly surprised because there are some chick flicks I do enjoy. I know that there's a sequel book, so I'm really expecting this movie to end on a cliffhanger, and if it does, I'm going to be really upset.
I have no expectations really for this movie. I don't even know what this movie is. So I think it's going to, I'm going to say suck. I'm not going to enjoy it. I'm just going to say that. It may be a decent movie nonetheless, but I'm probably not going to enjoy it.
How did you describe Borderlands? It was going to suck like three loads of butt or something?
Two packs of butt.
How many packs of butt is this movie going to suck?
One at most. No, not going to suck
one at most. That's valid.
Yeah. I really don't have any expectations with this movie. I don't think I'll like it, but I don't necessarily think it'll be like bad. It just really isn't like my kind of movie, if that makes sense at all. But I really have no feelings going into this movie. I am an emotionless husk, so it has nowhere to go but up, or maybe down. Actually, it could go up or down. I don't think I'll like loathe it, but I don't think I'm gonna like it.
All right, there's your expectations. Let's go.
There was.
You
I was like,
hear
you said it right as I was about to drop. Can we do Harold with the Purple Crown? I heard. Heard you say it behind me right as I was about to hit the button. I was hoping it made it in. It did. I'd say out of the three predictions, that being the third one we've done, that's our most accurate.
That's most accurate.
We also went like with the safest, like we're indifferent kind of thing.
Yeah.
We went the safe route on
that's
this one.
That's valid. That's very valid.
We were very safe on that. There's nothing. We're most like lukewarm take you could have done.
I feel like with this movie, what you see is what you get, kind of.
Yeah.
You know? It was what I expected.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
For those who have not watched the video part of the podcast, which Jonah, thank you. Jonah's been doing a great job. He's filming on his phone. And if you're someone who just has to have a video component, we are filming these and putting these on YouTube. So thank you, Jonah, for taking the time to do that. I know that takes a little bit of time.
No problem, baby.
If you have, oh.
Sorry.
If you know, you're good. You're good. Save it for
afterwards. Done, yeah.
If you haven't tuned in, we are three guys. And if you haven't listened to any other episode on this podcast, we're three guys who typically don't watch this kind of movie. We've had a
few wild cards in our time.
We have. I had a few friends recommend that we should try something different. And then my sister the other day, so Morgan, if you watch, you better watch this because we watched this for you. Morgan was like, you guys should do something different. You guys should go see like a chick flick, like It Ends With Us. And then we had a slow week. Here we are. So you know what? I think it'll be a decent episode, though. So spoiler-free discussion here real quick. Just kind of talking about the movie in general. It's a chick flick, but I have to say the characters were a lot more developed than I was expecting for a chick flick.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah. Do you guys have any chick flicks that you like?
I enjoy Sweet Home Alabama.
Okay. It's weird that that's the one.
I mean, that's some good humor.
How old is that? I haven't even heard of that movie before. 2004?
I say no.
I don't even know if that's actually true.
Got the Alabama database.
I'm going to Google Sweet Home Alabama here. But yeah, no. So Jonas, is there any... I hate to use the term chick flick because I feel like that's like...
Broad?
Or not it's specific. Too broad and it's also ever so slightly like...
Subjective?
I was going to say like sexist. Like,
okay.
Oh, it's a movie about feelings? That's for chicks.
It's 51st Dates. Like, that's a rom-com.
Yeah, like I've heard people call like Princess Bride... like a chick flick.
Oh.
Because it's, that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like some people use it in a derogatory manner. So, like, are there any movies primarily aimed at female audiences that you've enjoyed?
We talked about it in the car, but I like 10 Things I Hate About You.
That's a good one.
That's a nice feel good, fun teen movie. Like, that's the thing, too. Like, is that a teen movie or is that a chick flick? But I don't know. I think it exists somewhere in between. But I like that movie a lot. That's the one that comes to mind.
Yeah. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So, I've been on record to say before that I do enjoy The Notebook. It's like my, I don't know why I enjoy The Notebook, but for some reason, that's like the chick flick that always comes to my mind whenever I think about those. So, I would say character development. These characters were more developed than that of The Notebook. But I think I liked the character. I'll just be honest here, spoiler free still. I don't think I liked any of the characters.
I like this. I like the sister in the movie.
You know what? Alyssa. I did like Alyssa. Yes.
There was a couple characters I liked, and she was one of them.
She was one of them?
Yeah.
I like the leads. Well, I don't think I like the leads.
And it's like, it's not that I didn't like them. Okay, I didn't like, I mean, I don't want to spoil it. It was a character I obviously didn't like, but like we're feeling different to a lot of the characters.
We're talking about trailers. This is one of the weird movies I did watch a trailer for, and I don't know where or how. Yeah, and like there's a twist that you didn't see coming, and I saw coming from a mile away, and I don't know if it's because I saw the trailer or if I knew what the book series was about.
Mm. Yeah, I didn't know anything about it. So really, you know what? I'm not even going to say it because we're not in spoilers yet. I'll hold that thought for when we talk about spoilers.
Yeah, same. Because I also
unless you guys have anything else to add, I was just gonna say. Oh, let's say if we recommend it or not. I was gonna say for a chick flick, it is a chick flick, like through and through. At its core, I'd say it's a more adult themed one. Like this is not one that I feel like the girls are gonna build a blanket for and put on and like watch. You know what I mean?
Do they do that?
I
think so.
Dude, we have friends that like within the past year have built a blanket for it, and like I think they watched all the High School Musical movies.
I respect it. You know?
Yeah.
Horrendous.
Your sister was one of them, I'm pretty sure.
I'm sure.
I thought it was that friend group.
If High School Musical was involved, I'm sure it was.
This is not the movie that the girls are getting together on like their Friday night for fun to watch. Like, not to say they won't watch it, but it won't be for fun. Like,
some of these guys are dreamboats. Maybe they will.
Some good looking people in this movie in general. Like, I haven't seen Blake Lively in something in a hot second. Like most of the movie, I was like, that's at least worth it a little bit.
Yeah, you know,
like, okay. So I'm gonna give it one thumbs up. I'm gonna say if you are into chick flicks, it's good. It's got some good looking people, as Jonah said, guys and girls. The gallery's there, and the writing was better for character development than I expected.
Okay.
You guys?
I would go a thumb up, but like wait for streaming.
Like a half thumb.
Yeah, half thumb.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, like you should watch it, but like I wouldn't spend money on.
Even if you're a girl who likes chick flicks,
I guess, but like I'm thinking like, you know, if you're in a relationship and she drags you to it, I guess do it. But and obviously as a guy, you don't know.
Free relationship advice. You ready? Free relationship advice. If you're in a relationship, just go to whatever movie they say. Just do it. Just go.
That's good advice.
Then they have to go see like Deadpool Wolverine with you.
Yeah, it's like a trading thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So all right, Jonah.
I'm gonna say if you are into this kind of movie, if you like, you know, chick flicks, so to speak, or just movies like this, if you like Colleen Hoover books.
What else is she? You keep talking. I don't even know what else Colleen Hoover's written.
I don't either. I've heard the name before, though.
Yeah, I know she writes books.
Yeah, she writes books, some kind of books. She writes these kinds of books. If you're into that thing, I'm going to say thumbs up. You really can't go wrong with this. This is kind of like exactly what you think it's going to be. I'd say go for it. If you're not into this thing, I'm going to say thumbs down. It's not a bad movie, but this is a movie, if you're not into this kind of thing, then you're probably not going to enjoy it very much. And that's okay. Nothing wrong with it. Doesn't mean it's a bad movie, but I wouldn't say go see it. So
there is, she's written, it ends with us, it starts with us, Verity, Ugly Love, and then Reminders of Him. Now,
I don't know any of those except for the, obviously it ends with us.
Ugly Love and Reminders of Him have similar cover art to that of It Ends With Us. Are they related? I'm just going to like, what is the book Reminders of Him about? Love, grief, forgiveness. No, okay, it's unrelated. So, okay, So I'm going to go ahead and dive, unless you guys have anything else, into the spoiler section of things. Cole, go ahead and say your spoilery thought regarding characters that you were trying to avoid mentioning earlier.
Yeah, so obviously we said Alyssa, that was her name?
Yes.
The funny one is that what we were saying.
Yeah. Let me go and review. Can you remember your thought?
Yeah.
Let me review all their things, because I skipped over the facts, because with this movie, like we said, we weren't super interested in this movie, so I didn't hype myself up. I didn't do a bunch of research like I did for Alien. So it was directed, funnily enough, by Justin Baldoni, who also plays Ryle, the abusive lover.
Hear me out.
Yeah.
Think about this. Just indulge me here for a bit.
Okay, I'm indulging.
We have an actor who is directing the movie.
Mm-hmm.
We have a flower shop involved. And we have a guy who says he did not hit her.
No. Wait a minute.
It all works together with The Room. It's in the universe.
Ooh.
This is just a reskin.
It's an alternate take. This is the Wicked of The Room.
Wouldn't that make you like this movie more?
I mean, I should, but, you know, it was the original did it best. I'm going
That's true.
You I'm can't surprised that classics. Doesn't make you like the movie more than it
I
does.
I mean, I kind of put that together on the way home.
Yeah, that's really funny.
So I'm like, hey, listen.
Was that your thing with the characters you were going to say?
No.
Okay. go ahead. You go ahead, and I'll say this afterwards. Go ahead.
Atlas was my other character I actually did enjoy in the second half.
I came to like Atlas a little bit.
Yeah. He grew on me at the end, towards the second half of the movie.
Yeah, post-twist, I liked Atlas.
Yeah. So just to speed run the character names, because I tend to forget character names, we have Justin Baldoni, the director, as Ryle Kincaid.
Tommy Wiseau.
Yes. Blake Lively as Lily Bloom. Jenny Slate as Alyssa. Hassan Minhaj. I'm super sorry to all the people of that country. I'm not even going to guess.
That country. Oh, my God.
I'm going to guess Indian, but I also But that's the thing. That's the thing. So I'm sorry if I have upset you.
We're getting canceled.
He's playing Marshall. I'm probably going to get canceled for something different later. Brandon Sklenar. Sklenar. That sounds like a stupid made-up name, Sklenar. That's Atlas Corrigan.
Brandon Sklenar.
Kevin McKidd is Andrew Bloom. Is that the dad?
Yeah.
That's the dad. Okay. And then... That's
the big bundle of joy that is the dad.
And then the only other people I feel like are probably worth mentioning is Isabella Ferrer as young Lily, and then Alex Neustadter as young Atlas.
Random little note, whoever casted this movie, that young... Mm-hmm. She looked exactly like a young Blake Lively.
She did.
I thought they just de-aged her.
Yeah, it was really, you're right, solid casting choice.
At first I was like, is that her? But I was like, it's not her. That's like a really good pick.
Coming off of this movie makes me think of Borderlands for two ways. One, we talked about it on the car ride home. Alien was like I love the way you phrased it. You said Alien was like drinking a glass of milk to like clean your palate, but like we need to brush our teeth. We still haven't brushed our teeth. Alien was, yes, it was a good palate cleanser, but I can still taste Borderlands in my mouth. Coming off the casting for Borderlands, was atrocious. I feel like they nailed, I haven't read the book, but I feel like every actor in this did a really good job of fit their role.
Yes.
And you're right. Whoever was casting for this movie for the young people killed it.
Yes.
It was really well done. So pro to that on the movie. Let's kind of just go ahead and dive into favorite character. Is Alyssa everyone's favorite character?
She's up there. Yeah, I would say consistently throughout the movie, it's her.
I think she's easily mine.
I mean, towards the end, Atlas was making a case, but the whole movie, it was Alyssa.
Yeah, she had good vibes.
She was
fun.
Problem with Atlas,
cool name.
It's a cool name.
Very cool name.
He could have, in my opinion, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm being overly harsh. Like, I feel like as a character, Atlas could have reached out to her. At some point, post military, he could have done a little bit of trying to text her, write her.
Maybe numbers got changed.
Maybe he was still scared of the dad. I don't know. I'll give him a break there.
So he has, that's kind of traumatic there.
Where I had a hard time liking Atlas was the first time we're introduced to adult Atlas. He immediately jumps a guy that at the time we realized, there's later a twist, we find out he was being abusive. But at the time, we as the audience are not supposed to realize he's being abusive. Mm-hmm. And then in addition to that, the girl is telling him it was an accident. And now you could argue he doesn't believe her. Very valid. Yeah. Totally respect that.
In the gene pool there.
Whether you believe her or not, you shouldn't slam a customer and the boyfriend of one of your customers up against the wall over what is ultimately a misunderstanding.
Well, like Ryle did like, oh, is this the homeless guy you lost your virginity to?
Oh, that is fair. That is fair.
If Ryle would have kept his mouth shut, I ain't gonna lie, man had it coming.
Yeah.
But
yeah. That's valid.
You don't say crap like that.
Yeah, and I think for me, I'm not saying it was justified. But I mean,
a restaurant, do what you want.
Yeah, but I think since he said, like, you know, his parent, he got kicked out of his house because he was someone was beating his mom. I think it was. I get why his character would do that.
Totally,
scarred by that, like with his parents and knowing about Lily's parents. And there's a Marshall and a Lily in this movie.
Oh my gosh, there was.
Yo.
How Met Your Mother is also involved in this.
I totally get why he has a piece of him that's kind of broken, and that causes him to lash out in anger. By that logic, we find out later that Ryler has a little piece of him that's broken and causes him to lash out in anger. So that's a really slippery slope to start justifying violence. And I want to say this, like, obviously this movie it deals with domestic abuse. It also deals with, like, generational trauma. Domestic abuse is never okay. And that's what I was going to say. We're going to talk about domestic abuse on here, and I was worried that some things we could say would get us canceled. I want to say domestic abuse is never okay. I would say violence is never okay. I wish that they would have shown Atlas, who's supposed to be the hero of this movie, in a more calm-headed and cool light than the first time we meet him. He's just like, fists up.
We could quote, there was a wise quote from Matt Barnes, former NBA player.
Okay.
Violence is never the answer, but sometimes it is.
I would agree with you.
Yeah,
like,
I would agree
like,
with that. I would agree with that.
I guess I would agree with you and totally like.
That's a total meme quote there.
I get it though.
It's valid.
I don't feel
it has
like
validity to it.
In the restaurant, that scene, and it's just the way it's presented.
Yeah.
Well, like you know, maybe,
and especially to us as the audience, this is really important to us as the audience. We don't realize that Ryler is actually being abusive.
Yeah.
So it's almost like the movie wants you to not like Atlas in that moment, which is really weird.
I will admit it does
because it's like you think he's being paranoid. He's not doing anything wrong. Like Ryle's not doing anything wrong at the time from what the movie wants us to believe.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But then you spend half the movie not liking Blake Lively's character because you think she's being kind of, at least for me.
Yeah.
Before they show that he was really being abusive. And once again, I saw the trailers. I knew that that twist was coming. But watching it blind, the movie doesn't want you to know Ryle.
Ryle.
You want to call him Ryler.
Kyle with an R.
Yeah. Once again, hate that name. Doesn't want you to realize Ryle's being abusive. So then what that sets up is this precedent that Lily is somewhat emotionally cheating on Ryle with Atlas, which is not cool.
It's like when she keeps the number. I'm like, why are you keeping Atlas's number if he's not actually hitting you?
If you think it was
truly.
That,
After the twist, I like this movie more. Because before, I was kind of like, these guys, like, what is going on here? You know,
just from a director's standpoint, I don't know why you would set up your audience to not like a character. Maybe I would have liked it more from the get-go. Who can say if they had shown that the abuse was real from the start?
I mean, I'm different. I liked having the what is actual reality here? Who is the quote unquote the crazy one here? Of like, is he really being abusive? Is he not? Is Atlas, you know, overstepping boundaries?
You liked not knowing?
I liked not knowing. I liked being like kind of like having to piece it together as it goes on.
I guess, and I also think back to like the staircase scene. Later, we find out he pushes her down the stairs. Mm-hmm. Despicable, awful.
Yeah.
In the moment, he, from the audience's point of view, because we don't know he's actually being abusive
we're
yet.
Seeing it from Lily's perspective.
From Lily's perspective, we see a man who is upset that his wife, right? Because they're married by that point.
They're married.
Yeah.
Wife has another man's number, and he wants some alone space, and she is like chasing him and grabbing him, going out the door. Once again, like not knowing what we know later, it makes you want to like not like Lily, and I just don't know why they made two very weird decisions to make you not like the main character.
You know, maybe she's, you know, trying to, one of those situations where you're trying to write it, but like not realizing, hey, that person needs space for a bit. Let him calm down.
Because
she knows he has a temper.
Yeah. And finding out the twist later, even more so exacerbates the fact that she should have left him alone.
Yeah.
Sorry, that makes it sound like I was like, she was asking for it by chasing him out of the door. That's not what I mean
by
that.
Why would she do that?
But why would you? Like, I took a course recently.
At that point, she was in the wrong because she kept the number.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying, you know, justify it by shoving someone down the stairs, but
yeah, before you know what you know.
Yeah, before we know what we know. Like, she was in the wrong. She, like, he probably thinks, oh, she's cheating on me. She's kept, she's hiding this number from me. She didn't throw it away.
I just thought of this also. If you want your friend, because at this point, I think that Atlas was genuinely acting on behalf of, as a friend, giving her your number. Hey, if, I hope you never need this. Hope you never need to call me. But if you ever do, I'm here. I think that was a good move. Why didn't he just, like,
put it in her phone?
Put it in her phone, and she could put a fake name in there or something.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Very like, odd. That was weird.
And why wouldn't she take it out or hide it somewhere?
Yeah.
Or take it out and then put it in the phone and then...
Yeah,
shred it and do whatever you're gonna do. Or
like take a picture of it. Like I don't know. Like I feel like there's a million things you could do.
She's paranoid, or I don't know. She guess she doesn't have a reason to be paranoid, really, because she doesn't really know.
So, I don't know. Is she?
Does she know
having memory problems, or is she like?
I mean, she,
or did the movie just not want us to know? I've also wondered that, and
maybe,
I don't.
I'm convinced that it's seeing things from her perspective. Like how she's recalling these events happening.
So she doesn't realize she's being abused at the beginning.
And then when it finally clicks, like, hey, he's trying to bite this flipping tattoo off my neck bone.
I like that more than like the thought that she knew she was being abused, chose to ignore it, and then the movie waited to tell
us. Because, you know, it could be a, you know, if you're a victim.
Ooh, hold up. I want to give the movie a bit of credit. She does say at the beginning she's an unreliable narrator.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
That was actually a good bit of foreshadowing for that twist. Sorry, please finish your thought. I just
you know, being an abuser, like, or being an abuser, being a victim, you know, she probably is in denial that it's happening. Like, people will say, like, oh, you're being abused. No, I'm sure, you know, you, whether it be physical, verbal, anything like that, you've seen, probably seen someone like that where they're in denial that they're being abused.
Mm-hmm.
Or they don't want to, you know, face the reality of that, because it's like you have all the negativity that comes with that. But it's like if you leave, what do you got is what they kind of think. Like, it's this or I have nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think maybe like I was kind of building on what you said. I think maybe I'm giving the movie too much credit here. But maybe the decision why they didn't show that she was being abused until later, maybe it was kind of to replicate the feeling of like, oh, I trusted this person. I thought he was a great guy. And now I find like he's not. You find out he's not. All of a sudden it comes on so suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's trying to like replicate that in real life. Like I said, maybe I'm giving them way too much credit.
Well, now that I'm remembering the line about her being an unreliable narrator,
that makes it a little bit better.
I'm actually really in. It's weird. Okay, this is what's cool about movies. This is what's cool about movies is like if I hadn't paid attention to catch that line, I'd still be mad that the director wanted us to almost frame Lily as a bad person. But now that I remember that line, I think it was a very intentional choice to kind of frame her as a bad person.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a fan of it now. That's weird. Like, I wish I'd remembered that line on the drive home when I was, like, mulling this movie over.
Yeah.
Dialogue's cool.
Maybe this movie's going to get really high.
This movie had some of the worst dialogue.
Had some decent dialogue, but a lot of it was a bit of stinker there.
It's like...
generic rom-com.
Like goofy, like kind of like quirky-ish, trying to be quirky dialogue.
Here's the guy I'm sleeping with.
Yeah, in the theater, story time. In the theater, there's a scene where, we don't know he's the abuser yet, but Ryle is going with our main girl to meet her mom in this restaurant. And they walk up the first time they're meeting. And then Ryle says, Lily says, hey mom, this is the guy I'm sleeping with, like trying to be quirky. Or something like that. And I literally, I groaned in the theater. Because, like, why would you tell your mom that ever? I don't care how old you are. And then I went, ugh. And then Tyler went, dude, are you all right? And I was like, I'm fine. That was just insane.
I think I missed the line. I don't know if I was, like...
You heard it, right?
Eating a...
Oh, I heard it.
Yeah.
I did something like, why would you say
why
that?
Why would you say it to your mom? That's crazy.
There was a lot of weird dialogue choices in this movie. And there were sometimes that characters actually... had what felt and sounded like real human conversations.
Yeah.
In a way,
all over the place.
There's one scene where they're in the car. He's like picking her up from work and he's asking how the wedding went. And it's just like a camera on the hood. And that conversation felt so natural.
Yeah.
They sometimes spoke over each other. They stopped. They got a little confused. Like it was such a natural, good, dare I say Tarantino-esque, genuinely like, way that scene was shot.
Oh,
like one camera not moving, authentic dialogue.
Maybe Tarantino. Maybe Tarantino had a hand in it.
And then we like get to dialogue.
maybe he's like a hidden director.
Maybe he did. But then we have dialogue where she's like, half of the exposition for characters this movie was phrased in the form of a question. Like they ask a weird question that you'd never ask someone.
Yeah, they
spit water all over yourself. It was
my, I did. Is it like, my beard?
I don't know. Just like dripped down to your beard.
Like that example there. My favorite one of that was like it just randomly cuts to Atlas and Lily, and they go, "So, what song you want played at your funeral?"
Yeah,
that was one good.
Of the funnier. It
was
examples.
Funny because it was just so out of nowhere. Like everyone liked to answer questions with another question in this movie.
I don't know if it's like that in the book, but like to me, you could do that once or twice. But when half of your exposition is because you're having characters ask those very specific questions because you're like, oh, I want the audience to know that this homeless guy is going to join the military. So then in the movie, it's like girl nervous eating popcorn, watching Ellen sitting on the couch with what is essentially a homeless guy. So what do you want to do after high school? It's just like
it was so awkward. Yeah,
I can make conversation somewhere.
I just feel like there's a million places you can start like I don't know. And
it's
then
it's a good talking.
There
piece.
Was one really big one before that. It was when she was on the roof with Ryler. She asks him, and I wish I could remember Ryle. Thank you. They're on the roof. She asks him such a stupid question, and I wish I could remember what it was. But I just remember laughing out loud at
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Got choked on spit there.
I feel like there's something in my tree.
Probably is.
It's that you looked at me and your eyes went wide. You went
cold eyes on camera.
You're actually choking.
Anyway, that first interaction with Ryle and Willie is kind of awkward. Like, they obviously it's a first meeting, but like, he just jumps right to like,
I want to have sex with you.
Yeah, that kind of made me roll my eyes.
Like,
a little
okay.
Bit.
This is 50 Shades of Grey over here. Like, what?
I need you.
I have
been weird.
Here's gonna get me canceled. First off, you're right. That was really weird. Like,
He's up front with what he's wanting. There,
you know what? And being a playboy that we find out he later is, I'm okay with it. Like, yes, it's cringy, but he's supposed to be cringy. And parts of that scene felt very natural. Parts of it felt very natural. Parts of it did not. But here's what I don't like. And like I said, this is maybe like, please don't get mad at me. But like, Lily's such a tease, right? Like I want to have sex with you. And she's like, how many people does that work on? And then they say some things. They come back to the question, which is weird. And then she's like, well, I'm sorry to break your streak. That's not going to work on me. And then she goes,
I'll do.
But maybe. You know? And
like,
then he's
I'll
like,
let you know how far I'll go.
Is this okay? And she's like, maybe you can go a bit further. Like, I don't know. That just drives me mad. And then I made the joke to Cole multiple times throughout the movie. He makes approaches and she says no. He makes approaches. She says no. That's allowed. That's totally allowed. But here's where I started to not like Lily. Like, it's the start of it. She's like, at least maybe she did want him to do something and she was playing hard to get. And in a movie that deals with like a rape scene later, I feel like that's a really dangerous thing to toy the line on.
Yeah.
So in my mind, if a girl says no, she means no. You can maybe like flirt a little bit more, try one more time. But if she says no, okay, done.
Yeah.
Man was throwing up bricks out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she goes to his house, she's kind of implied in the scene earlier that she like didn't want to be with him at the house.
Yeah. Didn't want anything to do with him.
In like the most revealing outfit I've ever seen in the world.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm not saying that as a lady, if you dress a particular way, you're asking for something. I hope it doesn't come across that way. But, like, I just feel like you could, like, be a little conscientious of what you're doing to the weird guy who is, like, you maybe don't
you around.
Want.
Yeah,
yeah, like, you're just going to amp him up even more.
Yeah. I related it to the Padme scene from, like, episode 2, which maybe confirms for me, like, she did really want something from him. Which, once again, if she really wanted something from him, I kind of do the, like, just say it. Don't do the tease hard to get thing, because that gives men like Ryle really weird mixed signals, and especially if they're unhinged. But like in episode 2, Padme is like wearing the skimpiest, like bustiest dress in the world. She's like, Anakin, we can't be with each other. She takes off her shawl. She's like, it's against forbidden. The rules. Like pushes her chest up against
you're a Jedi.
I like can't. That's the vibes I got from this movie.
See, for me, I'm in the splash zone right now with this glass of water.
I'm choking. I'm
getting wet.
You don't know how to drink.
It's going crazy. I feel like those scenes just made me not like Ryle more, because I felt like it was like almost like oh, if I keep bugging her, she'll eventually say yes, even though she doesn't want to.
Yeah.
And I just got bad vibes from him, which, you know, I have spider sense for bad people,
I guess. Introduced to him by him, like, assaulting a chair.
A chair, yeah.
Like,
and stressful day at the office.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, just him being like, please, I need you, please. Like, please.
Why does he sound like Kylo
Ren? That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
Kylo Ren mixed with, like, if Seth Green.
He did kind of look like a really tan Kylo Ren.
Like Chris.
Chris.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
I can't do it.
Pina.
No, that's Lois.
That's Lois. I try
to do Chris, but I can't do Chris.
It's a long Griffin.
He was kind of like a really tan Adam Driver.
He kind of was,
He also had the beak of Adrian Brody.
Yeah. Like, I was worried at one point they were kissing. Is he going to poke someone's eye?
Like if someone farted, he'd smell it in the other apartment.
No. Okay, so favorite character is Alyssa. Jeez, I'm assuming everyone's least favorite character is Ryle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Even before the twist, I didn't like Ryle.
I agree.
He's a scumbag.
He's a scumbag. And he's supposed to be. So in that regard,
he did his job.
I mean, the movie, he fulfilled his role.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the thing later is like, I said I didn't like that stuff about him, but then later I'm like, oh, maybe that I was supposed to feel that way about him. You know,
yeah.
Get red flags.
If only you were in this movie, Jonah.
I would have.
Both of you were in this movie, here's what would have happened. You guys would have been like, at the party, you would have saw Blake Lively looking fine, walking in her dress. You guys would have been like, and she would have waved at you and walked away, and you guys would have been like, whew.
I would have been like, oh, I need to go home. I need to charge.
That's all I can do for tonight.
I'm socially exhausted from that.
That was too much. And I look at, see the text from the boys. Hey, we're getting on Fortnite. Who's in?
I got to go, guys.
Gotta go squat up.
See you later.
I think I would have at least said hi, be like, can I buy you a drink? And I would have got shot down and then went and played Fortnite. I would have at least given like one little bit of conversation, but I wouldn't have made it much further.
See, and I would have done this. I would have like, she'd been walking by and be like,
Jonah, listen.
Like the nervous look, yeah.
Here's the thing,
I like
Jonah.
To think, Joe, it's like the Key and Peele sketch where the guy is like, just, what is wrong with you,
Jonah,
man?
Oh my gosh.
It's like when I put the glass back down, it like falls and goes,
well, stop doing that.
I just imagine Jonah's going to be like the Key and Peele sketch where he's just sweating. Just like, feels like that, his face. Blake's going to be at the bar. She's going to be swirling her scotch. She's going to look over and Jonah's going to be sitting in the corner shaking. Just so much sweat running down his face.
Jonah has low key has some insane riz. Like,
you do, Jonah, actually. You have to like...
don't even try.
I don't even try. And nothing happens.
What? Are you single?
What?
Here it is, Jonah. Real talk on the podcast. Let's get. I'm just joking. All right.
It's an interrogation.
Did you guys have a favorite part?
Ooh.
Yeah. I normally ask favorite part, least favorite part. That's hard for me on this movie.
I mean, definitely the name drop for Creed.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That was pretty funny.
But I would say, actually, when the pieces are finally put together, kind of thing, that little montage, I thought it was, you know, it was handled well. Like, the realization of, like, oh, these things were not as they seemed at first. That kind of thing. Like, the quote-unquote mystery of the twist is finally coming together.
I think, weirdly enough, my favorite part was when she told the sister. And I know that sounds really weird. I love that the sister was like, as his brother, I wish you could find a way to forgive him, but as your best friend, I'll never talk to you again if you take him back. Mm-hmm. She's a real one.
That's a good line. That's a good, well-written line.
She's a real one.
Yeah, she's looking out for family, but also realizes, hey, he's not
stable.
He's not stable. Yeah. No one should go through that.
It's really important to note she believed her. You know,
she could
like,
have denied it. Like, oh,
denied
no,
it, that made excuses. And like, she did at one point, kind of like with the thing you were saying, like she said why he's probably broken, but then said, I'm not making excuses. What he's done is unacceptable.
Yeah.
That might have been my favorite scene because.
You finish.
I was just going to say, too often in, and you've probably studied this a little bit being a teacher, I feel like too often in situations of domestic violence, especially when it comes with, I keep using the term generational trauma, we hear about students who, because Cole and I are teachers, students who will go through the same problems that, you were so careful.
I was careful.
They'll kind of fall into the same bad patterns that like their siblings or their parents did, and a lot of times they're falling into the same bad patterns that their parents and siblings did, and it gets passed down, and you don't realize it like until you take a step back.
It's treated like normality,
and that's where the term that's why the book is called It Ends With Us. It's not necessarily talking about domestic violence. It's talking about like that cycle. if we were to dive into it, I would say that someone would probably argue that maybe the mom's mom was in a domestic abuse thing. Mm-hmm. So that scene with the sister kind of being the one to help her break that cycle, maybe more so than Atlas even, because Atlas is just there as a supportive friend.
Like, yeah, just gives her a place to stay.
That's
yeah.
probably my favorite
yeah.
scene.
Yeah. I'd say mine, I really like the scene where she gives birth to her kid and then Ryle's there.
Yeah.
I really like, I don't know, I thought I liked, you know, she's like, he's like, I want a divorce. And he's like, no. Like, please don't. And then she's like, what are you going to tell her if like she gets abused? Like, what are you going to tell mm-hmm. her? Like, how would you feel? And then he's like, I would tell her to leave. And then he just kind of like accepts like, hey, I've done wrong.
Yeah.
I got to face consequences.
Yeah.
And then like, not that it just like it redeems him or anything, but I was like, wow, it's like a really like you're good character
you're
moment.
Taking that control away from him then.
Yeah. Yeah. You can see him like kind of like, I don't know.
Like, you're not in control of us now, dude. Like we're done.
Dude,
obviously be cordial because you have a kid.
Yeah.
That scene made me so happy because I was really worried this was going to be one of those movies where she
takes him back. And he's like, oh, I changed.
And then in the second movie, we like have to do this again. Like I was going to be mad. I would have been like done with her at that point. Like if she had taken it back after going through what she did, what she had gone through. So that scene made me very happy. That was a good one.
Yeah. I like that one too. And I like the one, this isn't what you've seen, but I like the line, like you said, with the mom when she's like, why'd you stay with him? He's like, it would have been harder to leave.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a good line. Real. Yeah. It was real.
Yeah.
Like I said, they don't know. It could be like the worst relationship possible, but they rather it's a comfort thing or they know what this is. Like, oh, I can put up with this. I don't know what happens if we break this off.
Yeah.
Like I said, for what it's worth, while I didn't love the movie, it deals well, I think, with many of these serious topics. Like, I never thought that the three of us would be sitting here on the movie rubric talking about generational trauma and domestic violence and having real good conversations about it. But yeah. So good for the movie. And honestly, I kind of forgot about it till now. I did see a lot of people talking about how they hope that this movie raises awareness for stuff like that. So the movie's doing its job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For what it's worth. Good on the movie. Did you guys have a least favorite part?
Here's the thing. Everything was like, there's like a few like highlights, but like there's not really a whole lot of lowlights, I guess, in this movie because everything else is kind of mid.
Yeah.
Like it's tolerable for what this movie is. I would say actually, as a whole, like the low parts for me were everything prior to modern day Atlas being introduced.
Okay.
Because that when they introduced Atlas into the mix in the present,
it got
like, that's when I'm like, okay,
it got interesting.
I
got
to see where this
goes. We have a movie.
Yeah, we have like, ladies and gentlemen, we found our movie.
Yeah,
yeah.
I would agree with that. I think I said on the way home, the first half of the movie, I really didn't care for that much.
Yeah.
Like at all.
I'm like, this is going to be very mid.
Yeah, because like, I thought that I knew there was something about domestic violence in there, but I thought maybe it was just going to be about like her parents at that point. And so I was kind of like, I mean, not to say that I like that the, you know, domestic violence happens halfway through the movie, but I feel like the first half is just like this like kind of weird romance, not weird romance, but basic romance story between her and Ryle. And I was really checked out kind of. And then like I said, when Atlas comes in, even at the beginning still, I'm just like, oh, this is kind of like just a love triangle movie. Mm-hmm. But then when it starts talking about more serious things, it was just more engaging, I think, even though it's not fun stuff to talk about. It was just more engaging, and it was more than like just a romance movie, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough, my least favorite scene might be the scene where Atlas is first introduced. I agree with Cole. That is where the movie does start to get good.
Yeah.
Where we start to have some conflict, like some real conflict, because up to that point, it's just like a person opening a flower shop and everything's going right. Yeah. But in that scene, and I'm coming at this as someone who's been cheated on. Like, being cheated on sucks.
Yeah.
I would never, ever, I'm married, I would never, ever cheat on my wife if, I would never plan on this anyways, but if something ever was going to happen, I feel like I'd have to be honest with her, be like, hey, I'm having these conflicting feelings. Like, even though that will never happen, that would be where I'm at, just because I know that that feeling sucks. So she sees Atlas. She then lies and says, I'm going to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And then stands up and goes to talk with him. I'm not saying that's straight cheating, but like that's a little bit of emotional cheating. Like it really is. And then from that moment on, she even admits, like, I'm kind of in love with him just a little bit, like later on in the movie. Yeah. So that just made me uncomfortable because at that point, Ryle has not hit her. He's been a for the most part, a stand-up trying to change gentlemen, to our knowledge.
Yeah, he's been very, you know, respectable at this point.
Yeah. So I saw, yes, I know that the abuse is coming later, but I, in that moment, we have a good guy.
He hasn't done anything.
And a, he's doing his best. He hasn't done anything. And then the girl, like I said, Lily doesn't cheat, but also, like, if, like, I was out at dinner and my wife's, like, first lover was at the restaurant and she lied to me and then went and
talked to him in the back
and then asked him if he was seeing anybody. I would be really
uncomfortable.
I mean, upset. If it was just like make small talk, hey, how you doing? Haven't seen you in a bit. That's one thing. But yeah,
but it was like, are you twisting her hair? Are you seeing anybody? Are you single? Yeah. Like, it was just weird. It just made me icky. Like, in a weird way.
Yeah, I wouldn't like that either.
Personally. I agree, though, that that is where the movie started to get interesting, because of what made me icky is also the plot actually starting to do some stuff.
Then you start questioning who is in the right, who's in the wrong, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I would agree.
Totally agree. And also, Atlas looks like a very skinny Luka Doncic, and I'm kind
of... Who?
Basketball player.
Oh, okay.
Look him up.
Is Atlas skinny? Did I miss something? The dude wasn't fat. The dude was jacked.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he's like...
skinny. Here's the thing. Luka is a not fat. He's like... chunkier for like an NBA standard.
Okay. I feel like Atlas was very lean. I describe him as lean.
Lean is better.
We watched
skinnier.
Yeah, skinny strong.
So funnily enough, I was shocked because I've seen two ads for this movie. One of them pretty heavily featured Atlas, and then the other one was, I showed it to them before we sat down, it was Ryan Reynolds interviewing the actor playing Atlas, and it was kind of like a Deadpool Wolverine ad, but on the
set. It was like a marketing crossover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really funny. Would never have expected it for this movie. Oh, Deadpool and Wolverines can break all bounds. But they were interviewing Atlas and not Ryle. Atlas has got like 20 minutes of screen time in this movie.
Eh, I'd say a little bit more than that.
Maybe really? A little more.
He that actor, I mean, because you got to think, it's not the same actor when he's younger.
That's true.
I'm not counting younger actor, like the adult that I saw in the trailers and in the interview and like in the marketing material.
I guess,
like,
you're right.
I feel like Atlas, like the adult Atlas, I genuinely think it was less than 20 minutes. He was barely in this movie.
Yeah. But he left a major impact, though. Yeah.
He did.
He was important.
It kind of caught me off guard. Like, I would expected probably say him to
younger
have a,
is in there more. Younger Atlas is in there
yes,
more.
Yes, yeah. by a wide margin. Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know why. It's really immature. I think we all kind of chuckled at it, but I was just thinking of, you mentioned Ryle at the bar says, like, is this the homeless guy you wasted your virginity on? Which, first off, is such like a sick line.
Yeah,
like, if you're wanting to trash talk, I'm not saying Ryle did a good thing, but like, that's a mad trash talk line.
Yeah,
that is
that's
like,
a little cruel.
That is like prime 2009 Modern Warfare 2 lobby.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of trash talk.
But then later, as he's leaving the flower shop, and he turns around, and it's weird that the guy said it. Like, the girl said it. The girl said it. She's like, hey, and by the way, about my first time, it wasn't wasted. And he just turns and he looks her in the eyes and he goes, no.
Like, okay. Dang, bro.
Okay, Han Solo.
And I was just like, that's such a... stupid way to respond to that, and all
so
I could,
goofy.
It's just like, I don't know. It was just so dumb, and I shouldn't have chuckled out loud, but I was just that line was just so dumb to me. Like, of course, for the guy, he's gonna be like, oh yeah, trust me, it wasn't wasted.
It was,
I came.
Never lost.
There is some like dreamboat kind of lines in the movie that made me like kind of crack up. I mentioned the car, but the when they're like, it's a flashback, they're in the garden planning stuff, and then. And then he
Whoa,
goes like,
roots are cool.
Well, yeah. And when she's like, so why do you like plants so much? And then she's like, you just take care of them and they grow. And if they don't, they die. And he's like, sort of like us, I suppose. I'm like, you angsty boy. Like, shut up.
Bro. I laughed out loud at that one too.
Yeah.
You angsty boy. Hey, listen, I want to try some of these hot chocolate cookies that they make.
Oh, my gosh.
Those
are
pretty good.
Yeah. Legit though. Not going to lie.
Give me a big glass of milk with that.
I did want one of those cookies until I saw him like, I'm assuming you washed his hands.
Yeah, the finger marks.
But I'm just saying, homeless Steve from Blue Clues, just like putting his fingers
Steve,
in there.
Homeless Steve.
That shirt he was wearing
looked like Steve.
Looked just like Steve from Blue's Clues.
I got an infuriating thing here.
Okay, everyone pause.
Yeah, okay.
And by everyone, mean Jonah.
Yeah, two of us.
Lily doesn't know who the heck Ned Flanders is. That shirt looked nothing like what Ned Flanders wears.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's like, oh, you make
maybe they pulled
you
that from
look kind of like Ned Flanders. Like, That's not even close to what he wears.
I'd say that line was probably in the book, and then whoever was like picking the wardrobe,
they didn't know who Ned Flanders was either.
Wasn't really paying attention.
Yeah, paying attention. Yeah.
He wears one outfit. One.
It's like a green sweater, right?
Green sweater.
Over yeah. like a button up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dad clothes. He wore her dad
yeah.
clothes.
He, yeah. He wearing a red striped polo.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he looked nothing like Ned
Not
Flanders.
Even close.
Not what I would have guessed. Yeah.
I'm infuriated.
I do feel like adult Atlas had more hair than younger Atlas. Did anyone else get that?
Oh, yeah.
Like
oh,
younger
yeah.
Atlas is
airbrush
balding, and then like adult Atlas has
out,
so much
homeless.
Thick hair. Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, other than that, I had a few other things I really liked. I'll say, like, I think this movie was shot really well most of the time. Cinematography-wise in chick flicks is sometimes... Oh, I'm trying to stop saying chick flicks. Like, romantic... female-driven movies like this, I feel like cinematography is kind of a wayside. There's some really good aerial shots. They did some cool things with the water and reflecting. And most of the scenes, I thought the lighting and the shooting were really well done, with the exception of sometimes when things started getting intense, they went to like a freehand shaky cam that just kept getting closer and closer to their face. Did anyone else catch that?
Uh-uh. Like, I didn't catch that.
Multiple scenes where like every other shot would just be a little bit closer to the other actor's face, and they didn't have the camera on a tripod, so it was like a handheld shaky cam. And sometimes the dialogue matched that, but sometimes the dialogue was relatively calm, and it was just like all I could see was like the upper lip, the nose, and the eyes of Cole. And it's just like, I don't know. It just was really funny to me.
I didn't catch that, but I'm sure it does. I'm sure it's in there. That is weird.
Yeah. And then I didn't care for the twist. I put the twist in quotes for me because it wasn't a twist.
Yeah, it's about watching trailers.
I know, right? I should,
this guy is, over here watching all the trailers.
Yeah, how dare you?
This is like one of the few trailers I've seen in a long time. I've seen this. I think I've seen the Beetlejuice trailer like a million times at this point.
That's been in every movie we've seen.
Yeah, they've been really hyping that up.
And like
that and Smile 2 have had trailers every movie.
Normally, if I don't care for a movie or if I don't think I'm going to go see a movie, I'll watch the trailer. And I think this was one of them. Like, I wasn't planning on going to see this. So
Wicked,
I was like,
I've seen that quite often.
Yeah, Wicked's in a lot of movies,
The other thing I didn't like, I did not care for the soundtrack in this movie.
No.
I didn't really care for it a ton. I mean,
the only time there was music was like when we were transitioning between scenes, and every single song was like either sad piano or sad strings, and someone going like, just like over and over. And then I think there's one Taylor Swift song in there
at the very end. Yeah, they played Skinny Love,
and then like they'd get done with their montage and their transition, and then it just the song would just cut out.
It's over.
Not a good soundtrack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't care for it.
I mean, this one didn't have Ace of Spades, so I mean, I guess Borderlands has them there.
Is this bad that Borderlands might have had a bad... No, you know what? I'll say this. I think music, while I didn't like it, was used to better effect than this movie than it was in Borderlands.
Borderlands had one song.
One song. Yeah.
It was intentional with the music.
You know what? I remember the music. For what it's worth, I remember the music from this one. And aside from Ace of Spades, I don't remember music playing a single time in Borderlands.
Nope. It did. But we don't remember it because it sucked.
Yeah.
We're doing Borderlands Part 2 now.
Yeah, here it is. The re-roast of Borderlands. Okay. I have nothing more really to add because I don't want to dunk on this movie. I don't think it was bad.
No.
I think we've spoken pretty highly of the movie, to be honest.
It was pretty good overall.
Higher than I thought we would.
Especially now, actually, in a weird way, the more we've talked about it, the more I've actually enjoyed the movie.
I respect the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird.
I didn't enjoy it, but I respect it.
Yeah. All right. Rarely does like talking about a movie's flaws cause me to realize that I enjoy it more. But yeah, like it was good. Okay. Yeah. So let's dive into the rubric then. I always start off with plot. Jonah, why don't you start us off with plot this time? Oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that. Does Cole need to go? Cole
has
a score.
Yeah, Cole, you go. Cole, you go.
Cole, start us off with plot.
I'm actually going to go 4 on the plot. I really liked the plot. Like, obviously, when it's fine, but then once, you know, current day Atlas joins the mix, it becomes a way better movie in the story. Like, I like the quote unquote mystery, what's real, what isn't kind of thing. Even if that's not entirely, it's not a mystery movie, but it's like, you know, you're kind of questioning what's the reality and what isn't.
Okay.
I liked that kind of like trying to piece it together as the movie goes on.
Okay. That's solid. Jonah?
I'm going to give plot a 3. I'm being objective.
That's what the purpose of this podcast.
That's true. Yeah,
welcome
true.
To the podcast.
Why we're doing that's literally why we're using a rubric.
That's true. That's true. But yeah, 3. I'm gonna say because I think, like we talked about before, Adult Atlas shows up. It feels like you said, it's a romance. Everything's going well. and you feel like you're not really going anywhere. There's not a ton of conflict, and I was pretty bored. Not bored. That sounds lame. But yeah, I was bored.
It was a very mid-plot.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot going on. And then, but when it gets picked up, I think it's pretty fine. It's a serviceable. I was engaged with the drama.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say 3.
I was definitely intrigued, like, what's going to happen next kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
I, in a weird way, being the movie that it is, I feel like I never questioned what was going to happen. I knew there was going to be some form of third act breakup. I expected her to get with Atlas sooner, I'll say that. But other than that, I knew there was going to be a third act breakup. I wasn't expecting the kid. Other than that, like, I kind of felt like where this movie was going. I was thinking a 4. I was leaning 4. Because it does deal with a lot of really deep, dark things. I've got to take a point off somewhere for some of the terrible dialogue choices. Like, and I'm going to put that in plot. I'd say that's writing. That's since we don't have dialogue as its own category.
Yeah.
I also didn't love, while I do like the not trustworthy narrator aspect of it now, I still don't like the couple times before we know that Ryle's a bad dude where Lily did kind of emotionally cheat, even if it was just a little bit. With Atlas. So that mixed with the cringy dialogue choices that they made, I'm going to say plot is a 3 for me. But I'll give that point back in characters. So,
okay. Right.
Jonah, why don't you start us off for characters?
I burped.
thank you.
You're welcome. I had to clarify. I'm going to give characters... I'm going to give characters a 3.
Okay.
I don't really feel super strongly about any of the characters, but I feel like they were written somewhat well. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like I said, the friend, like being like, oh, as your friend, but as your brother, that scene I thought was good, well written. Like the part of the mom, even Ryle, even though he was like, what he did was terrible, they still did a good job, I feel like, of making him seem
written
human.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, he still seemed like a person. I thought the characters were written fairly well, even though they're not exactly the most charismatic.
This movie.
I give it a 3.
Like, kind of tiptoed up to the line on a couple different things. It tiptoed up on the lines, like I was talking about, as far as, like, dubious consent goes, as far as, like, no, I don't want you, but I'm also going to flirt with you. Yeah. Like, it really towed the line there. It also towed the line in a good way, as far as, like, making both of the domestic abusers, the dad and Ryle, not evil.
Yeah.
Yes. Which is a really hard thing to do. Yeah. And I got to applaud that. I almost want to give a point to plot back
on that.
A
lot of people, you know, that are abusers, like, yes, what they do is terrible. But initially, before you know what truly is, on the outside, you don't think anything of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they talk about how Ryle is, he sometimes lashes out in anger and he's broken on the inside due to something that happened with his brother. Yeah. And then once he realizes it, he steps away. He definitely had a dark moment in his life where he made mistakes and that act was evil, but they make sure to point out, I feel like, that he was not evil. And then they kind of go back and do it with the dad a little bit too. Like they say, like, what the dad did was awful, but as a human being, you know, like, was he an evil person? Like, the mom didn't think so.
One of those things where, yeah, the person is not evil. Like, or the person may not necessarily be bad. They just make bad choices.
Yeah.
Like,
so I think
that kind of thing.
The movie handled that well.
Yeah. I thought
it's not like stereotypical, he's an abuser, he's an evil human being. Like, he does evil things, but that doesn't mean him as a person is evil.
Is evil, yeah.
I'm going to give plot a 4. I'm going to give plot a 4.
Okay. I thought we were in characters.
We are, but I'm changing.
You're changing. Okay.
I'm giving him a point. I still, like, the dialogue is so cringy from time to time. I don't know, like, that. I feel like, but I think the more that I talk about the plot, even though I have problems with it, I think it handled a lot of tough situations really well. So, okay. So, Jonah, you're giving characters a 3.
Yeah.
I guess I have to do characters now. I was going to give characters a 3 at the start of this podcast. But once again, I think the more we've talked about it, I'm going to give characters a 4. I think that they were pretty well-rounded, very well-written. Not perfect, but good. Cool?
I'm going to go 3. I thought the characters, you know, were well-written, but I think most of them are mid, though, as far as, like, what I personally liked. Yeah. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of characters in this movie.
Well, there's no WWE wrestlers, like, you know, no, like, LeBron James cameos. Yeah, I mean, like, I get it.
Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, no Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, I need that.
Yeah, yeah. The Iron Giant wasn't there.
Oh, yeah.
So, I know what you need in a movie, so.
Yeah.
True. All right, so, 3.
Was
that 3 is your score?
Yeah.
Dude, are you okay? All right.
I'll tell you after the podcast.
You're good. All right. I guess I'm visuals. I'm going to give visuals a 4 for a rom-com. It's not even a rom-com. It had comedic moments for a romantic. I always want to just want to follow that word drama? With comedy. Yeah, yeah, I mean, romantic it, drama.
It's like drama.
But most generational trauma. The trauma drama.
Oh, my God. Okay. Drama, okay, rama mama.
Yeah.
Romantic trauma drama. It had shockingly good shots in it. I think that, what is his name? Ryle. Justin Baldoni has done a good job with the cinematography and just overall look and vibe of the movie. I'm going to give him a 4.
Cool. We're on visuals, right?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to give him a 4 as well. Yeah, shot really well, looked good. The sets, not a whole lot of them, but looked really good. Not really a whole lot to say on that. Just it was solid, very solid shot. Obviously not going to give it a 5.
If it hadn't been for the shaky cam, I might. Once again, maybe I'm being overly harsh, but yeah.
I'm also going to go 4. So there's nothing amazing here. Cinematography-wise, it's pretty simple. There's nothing, I feel like there's nothing super crazy going mm-hmm. on here. But again, there's nothing bad about it. It's pretty well lit. The shots are well lit. There's no shot. They all, like I said, looks fine. Looks good. 4. Yeah.
Okay. I started us off on that one, right? All right, Cole, why don't you start us off on audio?
3.
3. Oh. Are you doing dialogue here?
No.
It's just 3. Okay.
I didn't really care. I'm going like mainly the soundtrack.
That's valid.
I personally didn't care for the soundtrack. I get it. It fits the vibe, but it wasn't like abysmal, so I'm just going to go middle of the road on it.
It's valid.
Yeah.
Jonah?
I'm going to go 3.
Okay.
Because like I said, I didn't care for the music choices.
I put it in the wrong spot. I'm sorry. You give visuals a 4, right?
Yes.
Okay. Audio gets a 3. I clicked the wrong button. Sorry. Continue.
I'm going to say 3. Like I said, I didn't care for the music. But then again, it kind of fit the vibe of the movie a little bit sometimes. I like some of the piano soundtrack they had playing sometimes. This is a weird thing to comment on. I feel like some of the effects, like the Foley sounds. This sounds weird. There's a scene. It's a scene where he talks about Creed. It's a scene where he his jacket's on the back of the couch and he hits the couch and then he sets like a bowl down or something. I'm like, yo, that sounded pretty crisp. I don't know. Yeah. Weird thing to point out.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say 3. I said I also didn't care for the music. I thought it was kind of.
If they would have actually played Creed, I probably would have got a 4 for me.
Yeah. Or 5 even.
Yeah. I mean, that's automatic 5.
I was going to go 2. For the soundtrack, and then after we got to talking, I was like, okay, well, since I get plot of 4, I'll put my bad dialogue choices under audio, because audio is like direction, and so I think that kind of could include dialogue. I'm going to go 3, though. There was some ADR that I didn't love. Like, you could just very clearly tell it was ADR'd. But I have to say, there was a lot of scenes where people are whisper talking or like presenting these very emotional but quiet scenes. And a lot of times in movies like this, I can't understand a word they say.
Yeah.
Like, they just don't mic up well enough, or whoever is mixing it does not mix it properly, and things just get lost. And I feel like in a movie like this, I always understood what they were saying. And that's worth something. So I think the audio, they did a good job on that. So, all right, Cole, you're kicking off our final category this time. Cole, what would you give enjoyment?
Ooh. I'm going to go 3. I enjoyed more of this movie than I thought I was going to. Like, going in, just kind of like what my preconceptions would be of this. Like,
did it suck a full pack of butt?
It didn't. It didn't suck any packs of butt. It was mid.
Zero butts.
It was like, no butts were sucked today.
I mean, maybe. I don't know what Lily and Ryle do, but.
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Like I said, the first part of it, very mid. But when, modern day Atlas comes in, starts getting really good, so I'm like, I'll just meet you in the middle on that one.
Yeah, valid. Jonah?
I'm going to give enjoyment a 2.
Ooh.
Oh.
Oh. I don't know why we're ooing.
I respect the movie. I think it's a fine movie. Like I said, I really was just disinterested with the first half. I think it tackles like the issues well later, but doesn't necessarily mean I enjoyed it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give it a 2. I will probably never watch it. I have no intentions of watching this again.
I'm with Cole. It was serviceable. If like 1 is abysmal, zero is unacceptable, and five is like a great, fantastic. I mean, this movie's middle of the road. It was okay. It was. I'm going to give it a three for all the same reasons Cole basically said my thoughts. That brings me to a 72, Cole to a 68, Jonah to a very harsh, he's usually, I feel like, the nice one, 60.
Dang.
Putting this movie at a total of a 66.6. We'll round that up to...
Oh, 66.6.
Uh-oh. Devil.
Satan. Why, Jonah?
Sorry.
It's all right. It's all right. So, 67%.
Almost a C.
Ends with...
I feel serviceable.
It's done better like than feel... some of the other movies we've seen.
Yeah.
You know what? Looking at that number...
Did it do better than Suzume?
Probably. Yes, Suzume got us 57.
Oh, dang.
You know what? Looking at that number feels low to me, but like that's why we do the rubric.
Yeah.
That's why we do it.
I was thinking that too. Like when you said 60, like, I feel like I feel a little better than a 60, but it's like, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm just saying like they already did it. What great once before.
Your two on enjoyment is really what drug it down. If I give it, let me bump that up to a three real quick. That gives us a 68. It didn't make that big of a difference.
Okay. Oh, well, you know, we need one more.
I was going to say, I don't know. I gave it a 4-4-4-3-3.
Jonah.
Cole gave it a 4-3-3-4-3, and then you gave it a 3-3-4-3-2. So, I mean, like, yeah, I mean, it's just lots of threes all around. So, all right. Well, that was It Ends With Us. We talked about at the end, I thought it would have been funny if she, like, drops her kid off to, like, play at the school or something, and she's talking with Atlas. If it just, like, while she's flirting with Atlas, it zooms out. And then they get blurry, and it just focuses in on Ryle's fist just clenching. Like,
It'll end with me.
It'll end with me. Though that would have been funny. But here's my actual question for you guys. They will probably make a sequel, because as far as I understand, actually, while you guys answer, I'm going to look that up. How much money has this movie made? I feel like it's doing well.
Yeah, I would assume.
From what I can tell. They'll probably adapt the second book. Would you guys be interested in going to see the second movie? Is that something you would enjoy watching? Do you want to know how the story ends?
No.
No?
I would, if we did, if we're going to do a podcast episode about it, I'm down.
Here's the thing. Like, I don't know what other conflict there could be. If it's going to be, it starts with us. Like, if it's just going to be, like, and it sounds horrible.
I know what you're going to say.
If there's no conflict like what we had in this movie, is it going to be as good of a film?
Yeah. Is it going to be her and Atlas with a healthy relationship raising a kid? Like, I mean,
like, with
that's
no
great.
Conflict at all? Like, yeah, good for them. Like, that's a great thing, but...
I feel like they will... Obviously, Colleen Hoover wrote a whole other book.
Yeah,
and I doubt she wrote a whole book. Yeah, I doubt she wrote a whole book that's conflict-free.
Can you look up, like, the plot? Like, a plot synopsis? Of
you
the,
want me to?
I mean, I'm down.
I'll do that at the very end. That way, if someone's planning on watching the sequel or if someone is going to read the book, we don't ruin it for them.
Yeah.
Just Googled it while you were talking, though. It made $100 million in 11 days. It's one of 13 films to achieve the benchmark. Globally, it's made $187
million.
No, $187 million. Here's where I started to say, oh, my. It apparently, according to this is Variety.com, only cost $25 million to make.
I mean, I can see that. There's no effects.
No effects. It's all just...
That's still, though, shocking.
Simplistic sets.
Still feels shockingly low for a
not really
modern
like
movie.
Massive named actors. Like Blake Lively, obviously. We know who that is.
Yeah, but everybody else, I didn't recognize. I recognize the friend, but I don't know what her name is.
The actress.
I know her from
Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec. I've seen her in something.
Jenny Slate.
Before. Might have been that. Might have been Parks and Rec. Honestly.
Yeah. So yeah, pretty good. It's doing really well. It'll probably definitely get a sequel. Yeah. Okay. Well, here in a second, I'm gonna look it up. We kind of have a dry spell coming up, right? Like, is there any movies coming out? We've got
nothing.
AI Alive or Afraid? Afraid is
afraid.
What
I'm afraid. Got Beetlejuice coming out in a couple weeks.
Yeah, there it is.
Transformers. I feel like is close, but what? I don't know the name.
Yeah, they're making another one.
I actually am
the animated one.
Can I be honest? I'm slightly excited for the animated one.
Really?
So we got Beetlejuice. Speak No Evil's coming out.
No Evil's coming out. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I like well animated things. I don't know if this is gonna be well animated, but like. Live action Transformers has been done. Let's put it to bed.
They have ran that through the dirt.
To base something on the original cartoons and or the comics and set it on Cybertron or wherever the original world is,
it's
animated,
overdue.
Is a really cool, fresh spin on the franchise that I grew up, the Transformers cartoon grew up watching that. That was awesome. So like, I'm actually kind of excited for it. I think it'll be good.
Yeah.
We need to have the, as long as they have the touch playing.
You've got the touch. Ba,
ba, yeah, they need that.
You've got the power.
Sorry, all right. Get that in stereo.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we got a couple. We might be gone for a few weeks, depending on our schedules.
Yeah, we came back. It's been on nonstop since we returned.
Really
yeah.
have. We've popped out one a week for 5 weeks.
Yeah, I think so.
That's since pretty good. Look yeah. at us. So, alrighty. Thank you guys for tuning in. Please like, share this with your friends. I feel like I have to like look way over to get looking at that camera. I hope it can catch me in frame here. I am going to look up this plot synopsis for It Starts With Us.
Yeah, I think it's what's called. Yeah.
If you are a fan of the series and would not like to be spoiled,
click
please
off now.
Tune out now. Guys, chitter chatter while I Google this.
Jonah, what song do you want to play at your funeral?
Ooh, My Heart Would Go On would be pretty funny.
Oh, Cole, yeah, you should have brought that up sooner.
Yeah.
A little too late. We're in now.
I don't know.
Hey, don't click off just yet if you haven't clicked
come
off.
Back, come back, yeah, come back, come back. Come back, come back, come back. What would you say, Cole? I'm curious what yours is.
So I think similar in a vein here, I think we should go like, you know, your typical slow, you know, song like that you played if you're like, I Can Only Imagine, Go Right Down That Mountain. But at some point in it, during an instrumental break, I'm fidgeting with a clip over here.
What was that?
At some point during like an instrumental break, it modulates up right into the do 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 do, and then you get Weezer.
Ooh, okay. I wouldn't mind getting Weezer at a funeral. That'd be good.
Yeah, I gave mine in the car. If I have a like graveside funeral, I get annoyed. This is going to make me sound like an awful person. I shared this in the car with him. I'm going to share it with you guys.
This whole episode is made me sound like kind of awful people.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
Where's the domestic violence?
I get annoyed when I'm stopped by a funeral procession. And when I'm dead, you could drive past me. That's okay. It's not going to bother me.
What are you going
to
do?
So, like, and here's the thing. I've not met a person who thinks it's disrespectful to drive past, like, going opposite funeral procession. It's just kind of, it's what we do.
Yeah,
we pull over.
Society.
I don't want to inconvenience people when I die. So if I have plan on being cremated, but if for some reason, if there's a graveside service back in the day, back in high school, what I wanted to do is I wanted a local radio station to play Motley Crue's Kickstart My Heart. I wanted the police escort to take my procession as fast as we could through Main Street so that we don't inconvenience people. And I wanted everyone to roll down their windows and blast that radio station. So that way, as we drive by everyone stopping for my procession, it's just like a continuous stream of cars and the music would always be playing in sync, which I thought would be a pretty cool idea. And then my other thing was I plan on being cremated. I want my ashes turned into a record. Probably shouldn't say this because my grandkids could find this.
That's true. Spoil it.
Apple will be dead by then, maybe. Like this podcast probably won't be around. But I kind of want...
I'll stand the test of time.
I kind of want to put in my will, like, hey, a year after my death, I'm going to have my ashes pressed into a record. A year after my death, get all the family together, put my record on, remember me, celebrate my life, right? And... I think it'd be really funny to have a record that was just like 10 different versions of Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up, so I could Rickroll them from the grave.
Classic. I think that'd be classic.
I would think that'd be hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
Like, oh, that grandpa.
It's almost as good as that guy. Like, I don't know if you've seen that Irish guy who like recorded himself before he died. Like
knocking on the top of the casket.
Yeah. I think he had cancer or something. And he knew he was going to die. So while he was healthy, he recorded himself being like, let me out, let me out. I'm just kidding. And then he basically like told his family he loved him and like made a couple jokes. From the casket.
Beyond the grave.
Which is crazy. But yeah, so I kind of want to do something like that. So, Jonah, did you say yours and I missed it?
It was
basic.
Like, yeah. My Heart Would Be Gone, I feel like it would be funny because, like, ironic. Maybe, like, Jump.
Jump.
Yeah.
Van Halen.
Like, explain.
I don't know. Wouldn't fit, so it'd be funny. I'm not really sure.
If they ask me to pick the song for Cole's funeral, I don't know why, but for some reason, if they ask me, I'm going to play Photograph.
Look at this girl. Oh, yes, me, the avid Nickelback fan.
But you love that. You just meme that song
so much. That song is a funny meme. That and Lips of an Angel, two, like, meme-worthy, like, butt rock songs.
What I'd probably do is I'd probably try to learn it on guitar and then sing it myself.
Oh,
and
beautiful.
Could do that, don't lie, Cole. You'd love that.
I mean, I won't be there, but I'll be looking down, like...
But you would love that, right?
That'd be awesome.
Like, you could have the worship team, like, do a fun, like... meaningful Christian song, or
no,
you could have your friend from pre-K poorly strum the chords to Nickelback's Photograph.
I mean, listen, wait, probably got
and I promise I will point at the picture of you on the mantle when I sing it.
Good. Can you please get like Raymond Noodle hair like Chad Kroeger though?
Yeah. Ooh, absolutely.
That'd be good.
That would be good. So did you explain Jump? Did you explain why?
No. And I probably won't.
Would you like to?
I don't really have a reason. I just thought it sounded like I pictured me dead, everyone's grieving, and that song playing. I just thought that'd be funny.
No, I think Gary come home, but it could be Jonah come
home. Oh, yeah, Jonah come home, yeah.
Would be good. Okay, well, now that we've got that out of the way, update your wills, people.
Yep.
I Googled plot synopsis of It Starts With Us. This is Google's AI overview. I haven't clicked on any of the specific links because they might spoil more than we want.
Yeah, that's true.
I also don't want to read an article because all of them, like I clicked on one and it was like, the famous book by, and I just don't want to skim past all that.
Don't have a history lesson. Yeah.
So this is AI overview. It Starts With Us by Colleen Hoover is a 2022 romance novel that continues the story of Lily Bloom and Atlas Corrigan, high school sweethearts who reunite as adults after being separated by abuse and homelessness as teenagers. She was not homeless.
Yeah, she wasn't.
The novel picks up where It Ends With Us, the first book of the duology, so I guess there's only two, left off, with Lily unexpectedly running into Atlas on the streets of Boston. Lily is a single mother to her daughter, Emerson, who is still dealing with the fallout from her abusive ex-husband, Ryle. Atlas is a chef who escaped his violent family as a teenager. The novel explores the challenges of rekindling their romance as adults while also considering how their past have shaped them and the power of love and community and healing trauma.
Boy, that's sweet.
So, I mean,
it sounds like a nice time.
Maybe there won't be any drama.
I'm okay. Listen, hear me out, though. I think they need to have two kids. Atlas and they need to have Lake and Palmer. So they're going to have Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
Should I get that joke?
It's an art musical. It's a band.
Should I know a song that they sing?
And they're from like the 70s.
I've heard the name.
What do they sing?
I mean, we're all off the top of my head. I'm not even sure.
You can't even name a song by them. Okay,
I've heard the name before, though.
I feel less bad.
It's a band. I know.
I feel less bad as a music teacher not knowing that. Okay.
They're not as like, you know, it's not like frowned upon if you don't know Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
Okay, yeah. I'll look them up later.
The Emerson, Lake, and Palmer fan that's listening to this is freaking out right now, though.
Yeah, they're mad.
I don't care.
They're like,
come fight me.
They said she was asking for it. They said like
they said she was
holding.
Yeah. They said they liked the movie more when they started beating each other.
I mean, I'm not saying that.
We said that a little bit.
You know? So. I mean, here's the thing. This could be the last episode. What a way to go out.
Yeah, please don't cancel us. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you when we see you. Have a good night.